learn from reading through the report, there are lots of opportunities to improve the efficiency of the system and to perhaps streamline the city's parking system. As we note that they're almost every department, every major department of the city, in some way touches or affects parking. And we know that parking touches and affects the lives of every visitor and resident in the city of Bloomington. So we set out to have a full understanding of how the system is organized, how that compares with the literature and best practices in other comparative communities, and to really see what the current financial status is so that when changes are proposed, a financial model could be built to see what the impact is. So for instance, if a neighborhood wants to organize and have a neighborhood zone created to alleviate parking concerns in their neighborhood, there are costs associated with that. There's the cost of signing the neighborhood, the permits themselves, the cost of enforcement, which is probably the greatest single cost in a neighborhood zone program. And those costs need to be recognized and reconciled against the need for a parking control system. In my view, the city has a fiduciary responsibility to at least break even. And I think also the literature would state that the city may have an obligation to shift the burden of the parking costs to the users of parking rather than to everyone in the community. Prior to the installation of parking meters, the system was, in a sense, losing money. And that's what we refer to as a subsidy. When money from the general fund is being used to support parking activities by the few, well, that money comes from all of us. And prior to the installation of meters, the system was operating at a deficit of $2.5 million. $2.5 million on approximately a $68 million budget. So that's a significant amount. And the way that the commission probably looks at it now is that that creates a subsidy from those who drive and park, cross-subsidy from those people who drive and park to those people who don't. If you decide to take the bus, or if you decide to bike to work, or if you're one of those people who just never come down for any reason, but you live in the city limits, in some way you are paying property taxes to support the other user's ability to park in a garage or park on the street for when it was 2 hours free. And to me, that doesn't seem exactly fair because you should probably be paying for parking the same way you would pay for water or electricity in proportion to how you use it. And if I have a 24/7 reserve space in the garage, I should have the expectation that for that privilege, I should be paying quite a large number, whatever the market will support. I should not have the expectation that everyone else in the city of Bloomington should be helping to pay for my private parking space.
So what happens next with the report?
Well, the great thing about this process is that it has been an ongoing dialogue. I started working on this in March. The commission has had lots of opportunity to review the data over the last 6 months. There's been an ongoing dialogue with members of the administration, including the deputy mayor and the mayor, as well as a number of department heads. And we've had the opportunity to meet one-on-one with many of the council members and continue to do that, to educate people about the system and about what appropriate progressive parking policy looks like. Now, the commission will report its findings to council on January 17th. Between now and March, the city will be working with Desmond Inc. to do a parking study. They've contracted with them to do a more comprehensive look at parking needs and maybe even our future long-term needs. And I think that will also involve validating some of the commission's work. The next step for the commission is to gather public input on the report, encourage people to read the sections that they find interesting to themselves that maybe affect them. Certainly merchants downtown are affected by the garages and lots program as well as metered parking. If you live in a neighborhood zone, that's going to be important to you. If you're a consumer coming downtown and you're interested in either why you can't find a space or why you have to pay for a space, then the metered parking section is certainly important. And we encourage all stakeholders to come to the December-January meetings so we can have a public dialogue. the report was written with data in mind. And data does not tell us what the everyday experience is with users of the parking system, either merchants who may find it acceptable or not acceptable, or consumers who maybe experience frustration looking for parking. So getting input from the public about their perspectives, I think, is really important, because there will certainly be recommendations that follow. And that's a public process that involves, you know, lots of public input, and not just considering the financial aspects of parking management, but also the human side of things. We want to create a system that is managed well, but that's also acceptable and accessible for users of the downtown area specifically.
Jim, I was just wondering, as a downtown business owner, was there anything that really surprised you in this report?
Well, like most downtown business owners, I think in 2013, when the meters were being considered, I was a little skeptical at first. I was concerned about how they might affect business. Now, 5 years on, we have a wholly different downtown with new developments seemingly happening every month, with new restaurants popping up, with new shops opening. So we have a vibrant downtown. To me personally, it does not seem as though the meters have hurt business or hindered people coming to downtown. As I look at the report as a merchant, I see opportunities to improve the efficiency of the system. And what concerns me is how the system is being used. The literature suggests that garages and lots should be allocated for long-term usage, long-term commuters to downtown, and what we're seeing is a lot of short-term transactions, just a little bit over an hour. Really, the average use of the garage is about 71 minutes, where the average use in the street is only about 61 minutes, so 10 minutes more, and that's inconsistent with what the literature suggests. The other thing that concerns me is the employee parking situation. As a business owner, I get there pretty early, and I can park right in front of my store. Of course, my employees come before the customer, so they could park right next to me. If this happens over and over downtown and business owners and employees are parking on the street, then where do the customers park? Where do our guests go? And to me, one of the questions that the commission needs to solve is the employee parking situation. Another issue that's been raised, which is a concern, is the social equity component. There are a number of nonprofits and certainly churches downtown that have expressed concerns over parking and parking availability on Sundays when there are no parking controls, and places like Wonderlab that serve populations that need accessible parking, that don't necessarily have the funds or the ability to pay for parking, and Wonderlab sees that as a barrier to serving that population. And so the parking system is, in my mind, just a bit regressive. And I think there's ways for us to adjust that, again, by shifting some of the burden to user fees rather than spreading it across the entire population. That would be my take. Parking controls will have to change and adapt. For much of the system, it hasn't been touched in 7 years. Metered parking hasn't been touched in 5 years. And so I think we're likely to see a lot of change coming forward in the next year, maybe even the next 2 years, because of city budgets being approved in October, so the 18 budget's already essentially done. I can't stress enough how important it is to have members of the public who care about this issue to attend the meetings and be involved.
Jim Blinkenstorff, thank you very much.
My pleasure.